Says Grandma. Okay, well, we'll just, this is for Grandma. There's probably about 50 grandmas in here this morning that would want to claim this. Praise the Lord. Let's just offer up one additional word of prayer as we go into this presentation. Ask the Lord to bless it in our time together. Father, thank you so much for what you have done in this church and through this, your people. Dear Father, as we share, Lord, the victories that you've given us today, Lord, we rejoice knowing that you are our provider. Everything that gets done and accomplished is not because of us, but it's because of you. And may we, in our discussions and presentation, be careful to give you all the glory, honor, and praise for that which you have done. Thank you for the blessings that you have poured out through this little church, that you're touching lives all around the world. Lord, we ask your blessings now as we come before you to share and to receive, Lord, from your Spirit. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, as you all know, we just returned, actually, not quite a week ago. In fact, last Sabbath, this time, we were in service in Honduras. And today, we are here. And we took, or you all helped send a small team to Honduras for the purpose of doing mission work there. Those people are on the screen. Some of them you may not recognize because there are also some folks from the mission among that group. This picture was actually taken in Honduras. What's important to realize, when any group goes from a church, it is going as representatives of that church. So while a small contingent may actually go on the mission, that contingent is in fact representative of the entire congregation, because the entire congregation is behind and supporting that mission effort. We see this principle in 1 Samuel chapter 30, when David went into battle with the Amalekites and part of his army stayed and watched the supplies while part of the army went into the battle. And when they came back from the battle, some of the fellows who fought in the battle said, well, everything belongs to us. And David says, no, everything belongs to everybody. Those that went into the battle and those who stayed by the stuff will share and share alike. And so when God blesses, as he blesses the church for their efforts, the blessings are for everyone because we've all participated in this. Now, this is not going to be a polished presentation. I didn't take a single picture when I was in Honduras. And I didn't get all of the pictures that were taken. I did get about 3,000, however, to try to go through, to put together very quickly a little presentation for this morning. I want to tell you that was an onerous task. But, and what you're going to see is just a small representation. It's certainly not in detail. We're hoping that sometime in the not-too-distant future, we can have a real, you know, like an evening meeting where we can go through everything. And during the course of the presentation, I'm going to not ask all of the people that went to stand up here for the whole time, but I will be calling them up at different segments as we go through the three focal points of our effort. One was building the building, and the other was feeding the people that were building the building, and the other was evangelism. And I've kind of segmented this up into three distinct sections so as to not get everything all mixed up, so that I can bring up people in three different groups. Again, this is our team. We are there in Honduras, and as we were flying over, We landed in the city of Tegucigalpa. This is a part of the countryside that we saw when we were there. These are residences in the city. This is not where we were. When we arrived at our site, we actually expected to see a foundation laid. However, when we got there, what we found was what you see here. Dirt. No foundation to build a building on. And actually, the dirt wasn't as good as it looks now because, hey, Jim, you want to come up here and tell us what this contraption is you've got out there and what we were confronted with? Jim Lukowski was absolutely a gem. I'm so glad that this guy came. I didn't know he was as smart as he is. He doesn't look that smart, but he's really a smart guy. And he knew everything about building. So you can as I go through these, you can kind of talk us through some of this.
Well, thank you, Brother Tim. Don't listen to Tim. I think he's still suffering from a little heat stroke from Honduras. Well, as Tim mentioned, we were all excited to go to Honduras and actually start on putting the building up. And, you know, as we were driving to the campsite, I noticed a large excavator on the back of a semi pulling out of over a bridge. And I'm like, this is interesting. We're in the middle of nowhere. And here's a very large caterpillar on the back of a very nice Mack truck approaching us. So one of us has to decide who's going to stop. Is it going to be the truck or is it going to be the bus? Well, we find ourselves here on the site, no foundation. We got a lot of material to move. And unfortunately, it seemed that the ground was made more out of rock than soil. So everybody grabs an implement, either a shovel or a pick, and we start digging foundations. Sometimes it seems people are leaning on the tools more than using them.
I resemble that.
I think we're deciding how best to approach this project. Well, this looks like a true union team, one guy working a shovel, everybody else just watching. You can tell that most of the people in this picture are from America. We actually got some younger members of the local town to help us out in order to try and get this foundation in. We were hoping within the first 3 days, we decided we needed about 30 men. Unfortunately, most of the men heard how difficult the soil was and decided to stay home in their place to send their boys. Tim, I don't know why you chose that picture.
Well, because it shows you and Ostaf working. That was a rare moment.
Are you talking about me or Ostaf?
No, these guys worked tirelessly, and not only were the men working who were designated to do construction, but also some of the... Now, these people here were actually on the evangelism team, but they also came out to help us do this. Now, you got to understand that we are trying to build a foundation by hand in clay and rock. And for 3 days, we labored at this, and the process just seemed to be absolutely not doable. I figured that it would take us a month just to dig the foundation at the rate that we were going. So, but people worked tirelessly. Now we even had, now these two gentlemen, don't go away, Jim. These two gentlemen that came, they were from Oregon. They actually are not from our church. That's Patty and Sam. They are actually friends of Sue Tamasoa. They became wounded warriors. After 3 days, of working hard out there. I didn't know, but they went over with pre-existing medical conditions that really they should not have been doing what they were doing. But after 3 days, they were so injured that they couldn't work anymore, and they had to go home. I tried to talk them into staying and praying, just stay and be intercessors, don't leave the team. No, we have to go home. Now, we also had another, where's Jonathan? Come here, Jonathan. Jonathan also became a wounded warrior at the same time as these gentlemen. And I made him the same offer. I said, Jonathan, don't go home. Stay and be an intercessor. He could hardly move. I've never seen a man in so much pain as this guy. I mean, his face just said pain. And a couple of times we had to just sit him in a chair and pray for him. But I made him the same offer. Jonathan, don't go home. Stay here and be an intercessor. And Jonathan, his face lit up. He says, I can do that. And he stayed. Why did you stay, Jonathan?
I stayed for the simple reason that I was called because the Lord wanted me to go. And I was there not for self. I was there for the Lord. And I was there to help the people in the village. And when I hurt my back, I felt kind of useless because I went over there with a goal. And I couldn't do the physical part, but when I realized that I was there not for self, but I was there for the Lord gave me the strength. And every time my back would go into a spasm and prevent me from doing anything, I just kept looking at the cross, and I thought the pain that Christ faced on the cross. And I kept praying that God would give me the strength, and I kept praying that the team that I was with would be able to continue to prevail on their journey there.
Amen. Give that back to Jim. Jonathan is from Canada, by the way. He also, he joined our team to go on this trip, but he, are you sorry you went?
No, I'm not. I kept watching Amazing Facts, and I watched the Maranatha Mission Program, and I kept praying to the Lord. I said, Lord, I'd love to go on a Maranatha Mission Program. And about 2 months after I kept praying with the Lord to be able, Brother Bill Husk, I give a lot of credit to, because I was here last April and May of 08, and I met Brother Bill, and he said, anytime you want to come to California, I got my door open for you to come. And a couple months ago, when he called me up and he said, would you like to go on a mission to Honduras? And I said, I'd love to. And as soon as he'd asked me, I just looked up and I said, Lord, thank you for opportunity to go on a mission trip.
Amen. So we continued to build, and thank God that Jim again was there and some of the others with building expertise, because he was kind of, this gentleman right here that you're looking at, he was our contractor. He got fired about halfway through the project because he showed up one night drunk. And so, but we got a much better man than him. We've got a man that replaced him, was the head elder in an Adventist church in the city, and he was excellent. But so what we had, though, we had Jim over there, who really was our contractor, who kept everything going and pretty much gave us the expertise to do the work that we were doing, because we really couldn't speak to these people because they didn't speak Spanish. But Jim does speak Spanish, too, which is kind of interesting. He doesn't look like he speaks Spanish, but he does. He's a smart guy. So as you can see, this labor went on and on and on. Finally, we decided that if we kept working like this,
we needed help.
We'd be there forever just digging holes in the ground. So we actually talked them into bringing in this guy. A big backhoe. If we had had him at the beginning, we probably could have gotten farther along. So he's working at night. This guy worked, I think he would have worked around the clock. And we finally got the holes dug. But So now we have to continue building the foundation. You see these guys over here? They're carrying a big rock. This is a Honduran wheelbarrow right here.
If you'll notice, Tim, it is 4x4.
It is. And they're carrying the rock. And so we are continuing with the construction. Everything still being done by hand. A very labor-intensive, laborious project. Ostaf, who was Jim's partner, was also just an invaluable member of the building team. This guy could do so many things. He was a welder. He was a mechanic. The little truck that we rode to our meetings in, it finally died on the last day that we were there. But this truck, broken axle, broken frame, broken leaf spring, and when the leaf spring broke, it severed the brake line, so it had no brakes, but Ostaf fixed it under a tree. And mixing concrete, I don't know anything about any of this stuff, but Jim knows how to mix concrete too. Where did you learn how to do all this stuff?
My dad.
Oh, your dad, okay. And so this construction work continued by hand. As you see, we're carrying concrete about a half a bucket at a time to these huge holes and pouring it in. Mixing it by hand, carrying it by hand, pouring it in the holes, carrying stones by hand, dropping them in the hole. This went on for quite some time. Now, here we have two ladies. Where's Melissa? Is that Melissa? Melissa is shoveling sand. She says, I'm not coming up there. She's way back there. She was also on the evangelism team, and so was Vinny. And Vinny, who was Sam's husband, Sam was one of the injured guys, and he tried to get Vinny to go home. She says, no, I came on a mission trip. I am not going home. And this brother here was from New York. He joined us, and he's working there. Actually, this was before you got injured, brother. You're out there. Maybe this is where you hurt your back. I don't know. And so this work went on until finally we got to the stage where the foundation is laid and we're starting to build footers. Is the footers the right term?
Right. This is actually a two-part foundation system. In Honduras, they'll lay large rock on the bottom of the foundation, pour cement over it, and then add more rock until they get to a certain elevation. And then on top of that, they'll put a concrete cap for the wall structure to go up.
And so when they started putting the frames in for the concrete cap, I was so elated. I gotta tell you though, this foundation, I think they could build a skyscraper on this thing. It is the strongest foundation that I've ever seen. I mean, it was really, really sturdy. So I surmise that the reason that God had us do this part of the construction was because this is the most important part of the building, the foundation. And seeing the way they did things, I'm really happy that there wasn't a bad foundation for us to build a building on. Rather, we got to build a really good, strong foundation. So this was really thrilling when we got to this part of the project. And so you can see they're laying the forms now to put the structure on. And so there we are, where we have these structures that we're going to now start to build the wall. That's the good news. The bad news is we only have one day of work left. Because this is Thursday or just before Friday, which was the last day of work. So we've been there for 2 weeks laboring to get this far. And there's one night they showed up. This slide just kind of got in there. After the evangelistic meeting, we come back, and they showed up with this whole truckload of, what is all that stuff?
We've got material there for the roof, actually. You can see the corrugated sheet metal, and then the metal C-channel below that is all for the roof system. So, and then Osup is hanging actually some rebar.
And so the reason you can see him is because someone was shining a light, but it was pitch dark. And they said, we need to unload this truck. And I said, I don't think so. Reason being, it's dark, and all that stuff is heavy metal. Someone could get injured, right? So I said, we're not unloading this tonight. They were very disappointed. So it'll be there in the morning. So the driver had to stay overnight, and we unloaded it safely the next morning. Now, all of this material, by the way, you people here at Granite Bay have purchased. It's all paid for. This whole building is paid for. And so now we're at the stage where we are building a wall. This is our last day of construction. And Jim and Ostaf also can lay brick. I couldn't do this part. I wouldn't know what in the world I was doing. These guys are really, really talented. So we ended up getting this part of the wall. This is the product that we left when we left there. A foundation and part of one wall. And I got to tell you, we were rejoicing. We were so thrilled that we all got together and gathered there on the foundation of this building and in front of the little wall that we started constructing and took a group picture. And these are all of the people that were involved in this work and some of the local laborers that were helping and some of the local professionals as well. So this was a very, very difficult task. I can't tell you how hard it was. The days that it rained, but every day, if the weather or nothing stopped us from doing a day's work. We worked every single day that we were there. And it was just a tremendous blessing. And for all of the guys that were on the building team in particular, Jim and Ostop and Basil, Jonathan, and everybody that was involved in the building part of it, I'm not remembering everybody's name. Who else is here that was part of the building group? They're not wanting to identify themselves. Nick, come here, Nick. Nick looks like a little guy, but you know what? This little guy is pretty strong. He can carry rocks, he can swing a pick, and he became Jim's sidekick. So, give us a memorable moment from your building experience.
The whole thing.
I think Emma said it. I think Emma summarized it. We had fun.
Yeah.
That's the best way to put it. It was a lot of fun. It was a lot of hard work. But I'm glad we got as much done as we did, and do it again.
Praise the Lord. Amen. Thank you. Thank you, guys. Appreciate it. Now, this truck, this is our vehicle. And the reason that it's being held up there with this thing is because if that's not there, the bumper falls off. And this really was our major transportation while we were in Honduras. This is all that they had. And it didn't work. And it really doesn't belong to them. It's borrowed from from Jose's dad, Don Mario, lets them use his truck. But this is Ostaf working on repairing it. It was terrible. So we finally broke down and we rented a vehicle, this one right here. In our second week there, we said that we can't do anything if we don't have a vehicle. So we had to rent one, and we rented this one. That was really a blessing for us. Okay, now we're moving to the next group. Thanks, Jim. These ladies here really were the. The bread and butter of this trip. because these ladies fed everybody. They prepared food every day for about 40 people, because not only did they feed all of our group, they fed all of the people that were at the mission there when we arrived, plus the workers that came, plus the families of the villagers that happened to show up. And so they were. People are making comments about eating oatmeal for breakfast every morning. Well, that's because I requested oatmeal every morning. Not really, but oatmeal is. I Jim, have you been eating oatmeal since you came home?
Every day.
Every day. Me too. It's the breakfast of champions. So, but anyway, these ladies were masterful. They are really mission cooks. Imagine there's no electricity. There is no refrigeration, and the stove that you're cooking on is plugged into a bottle of propane. And so they have to plan their meals for all of these people in such a way that we're not throwing away a whole lot of food. They did a tremendous job. There they are in their kitchen. And some of the people that went on the trip are not here today because they're in SoCal for a meeting there. So Sue is not here, and I suspect that Arlene has probably taken the picture, which is why she's not in it. But this is our little kitchen, and these are the ladies who were doing the cooking for us while we were there. And also, not to mention that some of the time the water didn't flow in there either, because the water supply was really, we had drinking water in bottles, but the water supply was just a pipe that was plugged into a stream, and whatever water the pipe collected, gravity fed down to the place. So when you open the spigot, there's no pressure, just whatever gravity gives you, right? And if someone's taking a shower, a cold shower, by the way. Man, you've never appreciated cold showers as much as when you're over there. Or if someone's doing anything else with water, it's not enough water to go around because the gravity doesn't give you that much. So anyway, there are many times in the kitchen there's no water, but they kept everything clean and sanitized, except for the one day when one of the big pots broke. And Arlene, would you please come up here and share with us? Arlene was our chief cook. And Carol, would you come up and join her? Now, Sue is not here, but these ladies were just awesome. Arlene, Carol, and Sue. Now, what happened with the pot?
Well, first of all, here's the rule of thumb. Never trust a skinny cook. So we're good. What happened to the pot is this stove ran out of propane. This stove still had propane, so I was moving the pot from here to there, and the handle broke.
Don't forget, it was 4:45, and we were to serve in 4:45.
Yeah. Tomato sauce everywhere. It even went up between the glass and the stove. You know, I mean, there's parts of it that will never come out.
Now, how did you go about getting the food to feed all these people?
We rode in that truck going 70 miles an hour on a dirt road that way.
So we actually had almost daily runs into the little town for food. We were at the little village of El Suyatal, but there was no shopping in that village. So we had to drive into the town, which was over the worst road. Now, I've been on roads in Africa, I've been on roads in India, I've been on roads in Madagascar. I have never seen a road worse than this road.
Me too.
It was horrid. It was beyond horrid. And then we tried to fix it by having the grader grade the road, which they did. It was nice and smooth, and that night it stormed. And the next day, that nice, smooth road was one big mud puddle. And driving through the mud just made it was worse in the end than it was before we tried to fix it. It was horrid. Anyway, these ladies, this is our chief cook and our evangelistic speaker. They're posing.
I'm almost as tall as her.
Because you're standing on a big rock.
Oh.
I wasn't supposed to tell that part. Okay. Anyway, I've got a story about Carissa later. And when she wasn't cooking, she was washing clothes. She's doing laundry. This is the Maytag of Honduras right there.
You have to laugh, otherwise you'd just be crying all the time, you know. And we had fun.
And this is one of the dishes that they prepared. I didn't get to have any of this. Jim was in front of me in the line that night. I really didn't have any of that. What is that?
This was Friday night surprise.
Friday night surprise. Yes.
It was good.
Everyone has already shared with you, we had oatmeal every day for breakfast, and depending on the number who showed up for breakfast, we may have oatmeal left over. Well, the first few days, we got very creative, and Arlene and I put together a recipe to make oatmeal cookies out of leftover oatmeal. So then, yeah, they did.
I did get some cookies, and those were very good. Yeah.
And then on the last Friday, we were kind of running out of ideas, and we had a lot of oatmeal left over for breakfast. And so we put it in this pan, and then we mixed, I think, some coconut milk in it, and peaches, and we dumped those over the top, and more coconut, and some cinnamon.
It must have been very good because it disappeared very quickly.
It did.
This is our little chow line. They put the food there, and the line would extend all the way down to the end of the building, and people would go through and get their food. And sometimes, I think this is a posed picture, but.
No, this isn't a post picture. This is the best picture.
Oh, is it?
Yes. This is Friday night. They had, at the end of 2 weeks, we decided that they deserved brownies.
So there.
And we learned a trick on that trip that I will never forget. When you carry eggs in the car, the driver drives slower. I'll never forget it as long as I live.
Huh. So anyway, brownies, and they are as good to the last drop. It must be a food run. We're out of food. The cooks are on their way to get more food. And they're riding at 70 miles an hour on the back of that truck.
Natalia will pay for this.
That's great. But they did keep us fed, and you guys did a tremendous job. Thank you.
Something that you have to know about this trip is when we left Houston, and we're in the air, and there's no turning back, about that time we hear from the pilot. And he says, for those of you who have never landed in Tegucigalpa, we need to tell you that it's between two mountains. It's going to be a really bumpy ride, and just before we hit the ground, we have to do an immediate left. I mean, we clapped. We found out it's the second most dangerous place in the world to land. So then you get in the cars, and you're kind of thinking maybe the plane ride wasn't so bad. You're finding out that double yellow lines in Honduras merely means that the government bought too much yellow paint. And I asked the people, I said, why do you pass when there's double yellows? And they said, oh, that's just for people who aren't good drivers.
Our cooks did an excellent job, and we are so appreciative of them. Every morning, we started our day with a devotional, a worship time, and this is one of those morning times we had to do it outside because the little chapel over there was missing all of the chairs because we'd taken them all into town for the meeting. And this is one of the meetings, I think Jesse there is leading the devotional and the worship this morning. This now is, this is the little Adventist church in the town, which we use for the purposes of this trip for our children's evangelistic meetings, because the adults were meeting across the way at the Culture Center. And you can see it is a very makeshift kind of structure, but it's functional. And inside, the folks that were doing the children's program had lots of kids, and it was a very robust crowd. Brian, Evangelina, Desiree, all of you that were doing the children's program, why don't you all come up here and tell us something about it? Emma? These kids were some precious kids, and there's two parts of the children's program. One is the meetings that you're looking at here, which is inside the little makeshift church building. And also, Pastor John, I'll give you the microphone. There's two parts. The part at the site where we're doing the evangelistic meetings, and the other part was the school, which was an incredible miracle.
Amen.
That the first week we were there, God opened the door for our team to go into a public school and just have free reign in the classrooms.
Amen.
We have some slides to show you of that. But anyway, these are the meetings across the way. Tell us about these.
Well, first of all, the team here, and we don't even have the whole team here. We just were so excited. Evangeline and Brian, she just fit right in there. Let me tell you, with the kids, she could just speak the language. And then we were singing to them. I'm going to let them share a little bit because it was just so exciting to me. I just worked the computer a little bit and let them do the program. So I'm going to let them share. Will you share a little bit, Brian and Evangeline?
Okay, I'll go through some more of these slides as you're talking.
Well, like someone alluded to earlier, you know, every day was a little different. And we wanted to keep things interesting for the children, and we didn't want to just keep telling them the same stories over and over again. But, you know, sometimes some people had to be in a different meeting or somebody was sick. And so it was a lot of praying and a lot of adjusting. And like someone mentioned earlier, just an adventure. It was a lot of fun.
Okay, here, I think they're lining up to go into the main meeting to sing. Because they did come over twice and sing, and it was incredible. They taught these kids some songs, both in Spanish and in English, and they came over to sing, and I was really, really surprised at how well they sang.
Desiree, before we left, took a lot of these songs that we knew and translated them into Spanish. And so as we went there, I want Desiree to sort of share, because she was, you could see as she was teaching them that they were really picking up on this, and they really did enjoy it.
Yeah, it started, sorry, I lost my voice on the trip, but we went into the schools, and fortunately we had about 20 songs, because the first day we went in there to teach them all these songs, like I've Got Peace, Like a River, the B-I-B-L-E, but all of them in Spanish, and Jesus Loves Me. And got there the first day, and we had about four classrooms, and we'd rotate different subjects. And Natalia, she played guitar, and I would teach the kids the songs. And the first day, I think they learned five songs. So I was like, oh, thank goodness we have 20, because they were learning them very quickly. But they loved them. And even so much, you know, when I got sick, the rest of the group took over, and they did a great job continuing to teach them the songs. And it was neat, because one night I was standing outside the main meeting greeting people, and one of the little neighborhood kids is out front playing with his little top. And he was singing, Mi Pequenita Luz, and this little light of mine. He was just singing it as he's out there playing, and it made my heart so happy because they learned them, and I hope they continue to sing them as they're there.
When we arrived, they had sick people already at the mission station, two very sick girls, and then one of their young men got very sick, and they were actually evacuated into the city. And we had a few people on our team also got sick. Desiree got sick in the first week, but she kept going through. And I've never seen a more courageous person. Every day I'd see her, I said, Desiree, how are you doing today? I'm doing good. But she was sick. She never said, oh, I'm just sick, I can't. I'm doing good. And she kept going, and she kept going. A couple of nights she had to sleep in the car because she could only sleep sitting up. But she kept going and showed a lot of courage, a lot of character, and God really used her. Just really amazing. Again, we got the kids. These are the kids singing. And I don't know, they were doing this sign thing that Desiree was teaching them. And what are you doing here, Evangelina? Is this?
That's one of them. That's one of the night meetings. I was teaching them. We went through the life of Jesus. So we went through a few stories. And I think right there we were singing. So that's part of the program at night. Mm.
So we have a continual ministry to the children, both in the day and in the night. And this was quite a blessing. And these were some of the neatest little kids. And this is in the school, if I'm not mistaken. And this is John. He's showing them something on his computer there. They have this ministry. This is inside the class. You couldn't do this in the United States. Inside the classroom. And they're instructing them in the Bible and music and what else?
We taught the health class and with health and crafts and stuff. And then music and English. We had an English class, Michael and Michael taught that one. And then Bible. I did the Bible class with the Truth for Youth PowerPoint. It was very neat. There was lots and lots of kids that were very loud, but it was a real blessing. And it was Melissa doing the health program. They learned so much.
Melissa's supposed to be up here.
Yeah, but she won't come. I already asked her. This is Brian. He's rocking out, it looks like.
He had a good time singing.
And the kids are praying.
In public school.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Just a wonderful time of ministry to these young people. And their lives will never be the same. Their lives will never be the same. I don't know what this is. But whatever it is, it's John is listening for something, and I don't know what Des is doing there, but it's an action song. Oh, okay. Praise the Lord.
And they loved it.
And they did.
They did.
The children's evangelism team did just an awesome job. It was just an incredible time of ministry, and thank you for your prayers and supporting the work and effort.
I just want to tell you, the main teacher that we were having contact with for the meetings at the school, she's one of the contacts of the missionaries over there, and they're giving her Bible studies. She goes to the Seventh-day Adventist Church now, and she said that she likes the Seventh-day Adventist Church out of all the other ones because they go over there and they help people, and they teach kids about God. So we were actually doing everything they wanted.
Amen. Amen.
Just so we realize what was happening. The Lord sort of planned this ahead of time because it was due to the political situation there that some of the teachers would not show up for school because of the political situation. So they wanted someone to come in and sort of fill in. So it was due to that problem that we were worried about here, God was opening a bigger door for us.
Praise Amen. The Lord. Amen. Thank you, guys. This was for a week there our only mode of transportation, and even after we got the other vehicle, was our primary mode of transport. They were not kidding when they said they got on this truck to go to the meetings. And this actually is two Sabbaths ago, I think, or last Sabbath, I'm not sure, but we were on our way to a meeting, and this is it. Headed down this road, we're not kidding. This was it, and these roads were horrible. But one fine day, coming from the city, Jim and Nick and Ostoff and myself were riding on the back of this truck, and it started to storm. I mean, not just rain a little bit, storm. You know, where the raindrops feel like bullets hitting you. And the guy was driving along, and Arlene and Ellie were in the truck. I made a big mistake. I let Ellie drive when I should have been driving. I said, but that was before the rain. And when it started raining, I couldn't stop him and change. But anyway, we had to save the bread. When we got back to the mission, we were, I mean, from head to toe, drenched in rain. And it was the wind blowing against you. It was cool. And it was just a horror story. But it made us better men. Glory. So this is a couple of times there, this is John on the motorcycle carrying Michael somewhere. So they did have this little bike there also. This is our wonderful road. This is the building where we had our evangelistic meetings. This actually right here was on a Sabbath morning. This was not the evangelistic meeting. Nick sang, I think, three times, and he just did just a wonderful, wonderful job. This is a Sabbath morning meeting. Carissa did the speaking for our evangelistic meeting. See, I knew that. You know, my intention was first to go over there, conduct the evangelistic meetings myself, and try to coordinate all the other things that we were doing. I knew that I couldn't do both of those things. And because the work of trying to coordinate all the day-to-day things that we were doing and the work of all of our activities, and to focus on doing an evangelistic sermon every night was just, so I prayed about it, and I felt the Lord said, ask Carissa. So I asked her. Well, first I called over there, because some of these countries, they're kind of leery about the females presenting the message. Some of them just have, so I called, I said, is there any problem if one of the sisters present the message? He said, no, there's no problem. So I asked her, and she said, I'll do it, because she's experienced. I know she's done it before. And she did a marvelous job. Awesome. She just did a wonderful job. I wish I had more slides of her doing her presentations, but this is the only one I have. But every night, she did a great, great presentation. We only had 11 meetings. On the night when she presented the Sabbath, 22 people made decisions. Catholic people made the decision to accept Sabbath truth. Praise the Lord. It was just a wonderful and awesome time. These are just some of the folks in the congregation. This is Brother John. There were a couple of days there, Brother John wasn't feeling too good. But this is him under his This is his room. He and Emma are sleeping out there, along with the cows that walk through. I'm serious. And all the bugs that were there. That is a tarantula. And that tarantula is crawling right near Emma's bed. This is Emma's bed. And there's a tarantula. That's the tarantula in a jar. I didn't show you the picture of the tarantula in little pieces, but anyway. Actually, this tarantula was spared. I think Jonathan took the tarantula to the other side of the creek and let it go. On our way back, this is the bus that we used to travel back, but because it had rained the night before, the gentleman had to get out and push it up the hill. On the way back, this little truck that had been so faithfully, after many repairs, getting us back and forth, we're on our way to the airport now. We actually are on our way to have breakfast in the city because they have started a vegetarian restaurant there. They were going to cater us breakfast in. We left early. The truck is now dying. It's dead with all of our bags on it. And so we're all looking at the truck, trying to figure out what to do. They isolated the problem, and so we decided that with Band-Aids, I'm serious, Band-Aids and zip ties, they were going to fix the truck. I'm serious, they did this. And but you know what? It didn't work. And this is Jim's response to it. It's dead. It's over. So the only solution then was to take all the bags off the truck, put them on the van, and then push the truck around and try to get it back into the village and leave it there, which is where we left it, DOA. And we made our way back to the airport. And we're on our way home now. And the food that we were going to have for breakfast, they just brought it right into the airport. This is the airport waiting room. These are the little seats that people sit on. And this is our breakfast. And so we're just having our breakfast right there, standing around the airport. And they're catered the food right in there to where we were waiting. And we're on our way back home, a lot of very tired. And when we got to the airport, we were greeted by our church family up there. And it was really a wonderful sight to see all of you folks who came out to the airport to meet us. And we are here posing for our arrival picture with the signs and the balloons that just thrill our hearts. It was really indeed a wonderful time of work and ministry. I want to leave you, I know it's very late, but I want to leave you with just a scripture. In Deuteronomy 31 and verse 8, this is what it says. And the Lord, he it is that doth go before thee. He will be with thee. He will not fail thee, neither forsake thee. Fear not, neither be dismayed. Faith in God removes the fear of all circumstances. Before we were going over, people were asking questions. They're having problems over there. There's political unrest. The army is taking over. There's been a coup and all these things. But the word of God says, fear not, neither be dismayed. We believe that God had ordained that we go on this trip. It's because there were lives in the balance. Faith is belief and trust in God and in Him alone. You know the lyrics to a song that says, faith can move the highest mountain. It can turn deserts into fountains. Faith can part the waters of the deepest sea. Faith can make a broken heart mend. It can send rain from heaven. Faith can change the course of history. And when we step out in faith, we never know if we have altered something that the enemy was setting up for evil and allowed God, because we moved in faith, to use it for good. We believe that this mission trip has altered the lives of many people because of your faith and your faithfulness in supporting God's work in this church. Let's pray together and thank Him. Father in heaven, we thank you so much for allowing us to be instruments in your hands. We thank you, Lord, for going before us and opening the doors and for touching the lives of so many people. We thank you, Lord, for the faithfulness of these your people who have given generously and sacrificially so that the lives of those who have so little and many who have nothing can be affected for your kingdom. Lord, we ask your blessings on the people that we have touched in Honduras and those who have come to know you in a very real and personal way. And we ask, Lord God, that you would continue to bless this Granite Bay Church, that we will continue, Lord, to keep our faith fully grounded in you and our eyes focused and fixed on Jesus, our Lord and Savior, and continue to be instruments in your hands that you can use to impact the lives of people around the world. You've commissioned us to go, and we say yes to that word, and we ask, Lord God, that you would bless the efforts that you cause us to do. For we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We'll sing our closing hymn. And our closing hymn, what is our closing hymn? 361. Pastor Ross, you want to come up and do the... Yes.
Our closing hymn, 361.
361. Hark, 'tis the shepherd's voice I hear. Let's stand as we sing together.